Last week we looked at the importance of Bible prophecy. Carrying on from there, we're going to look at the different resurrections, plural, in Bible prophecy, and also consider what sort of body will we have in the new body, the glorified body. How much does the Bible tell us? How much can we understand? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's look from verse 42 down to 50. That will do for now. 42 to 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is about our new body. We'll come to this later on.
Sorry, John, what was that?
1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, reading down to 50. Paul had been talking about the different glory of God's creation, the stars and the sun and so on. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's the Lord Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit. I mentioned last week that the teaching in Scripture, as indeed the early church as well, we looked in Acts, given the importance of the resurrection of Jesus and the anticipated resurrection of those who died in Christ. Very important, but that is neglected in many churches today, not just at Easter time, as they might call it that, or Passover, but at any time in the year, proclaiming the power of the resurrection of Jesus and the prospect of our own if we go to be with the Lord through death. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we also read, needn't turn to, but in verse 14, it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or die in Jesus, will God bring with him. In other words, Christians who have died, their bodies are decayed, or whatever's happened to them, but their spirits go to be with the Lord. And when the Lord comes to the church, living believers, the dead in Christ rise first into an immortal, incorruptible, glorified body. That's the body, and it will be joined by the Spirit coming with the Lord from heaven. They'll be joined together. So, like now, for example, absent from the body, they're present with the Lord instantly. No such thing as soul sleep. That's all wrong. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5:8. And the body is raised, resurrected body is raised immortal, never to die again, and incorruptible, because sin can never enter heaven or anything decay. So it has to be a perfect glorified body. And they'll be immortal, they'll be incorruptible, and be reunited with our souls coming from heaven, as we know. So it'll be like a re-entry of the Spirit into this new glorified body. And we all need to be perfect when we get there, not here, in order to be fit for the living in the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit, of course. And I'm going to go further to 1 Peter chapter, you might have done this last time, 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 3 through to 9. A lengthy reading, but we read it. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, amen, has begotten us again to a lively or living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It couldn't be any other way. He had to rise first, or we never could. And where are we going? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's never going to disappear. It's reserved in heaven for you. So your name is on your door. Who are kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. Through faith that he gives to us, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time of the church age. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and we've had some of them tonight. Why does the Lord allow these trials? Well, look at verse 7, and there's your answer. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes to the church. In other words, your faith is going to be praised by the Lord. So that even though your faith is tested, which it is, that your faith and your life may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the coming of the Lord when you go through hard times. Whom having not seen, you love. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Inexpressible, you haven't got the words. Receiving the end of your faith, salvation of your souls, when faith turns to sight. Well, that's a wonderful reading, isn't it? That is, and it's a great word, a great word. Now, contrary to what many Christians believe, there are seven different resurrections in Scripture. The amillennialist, who doesn't believe in the millennium or the rapture, says there's only one resurrection. So when the Lord comes to the church, he also then comes to judge the nations. There's no millennium. And we all meet at the great white throne. Perish the thought. We shall never meet at the great white throne. We meet at the reward throne called the Bema.
Hallelujah.
We look at that next week, all being well. So let's consider these seven resurrections. Well, the first one, of course, is obvious, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is number one. That's pretty clear. But if you go back to Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 27, there you see a token resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. In verse 50 we see here that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit, and he died, of course. And the graves were opened, this is in Jerusalem. Many bodies of the saints, Old Testament ones, who had fallen asleep, who died, were raised. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they couldn't come out before, could they? Because they weren't released. Resurrection releases them. And they went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared to many. Well, that's the second resurrection. Of course, the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus, who knows in the end of John's Gospel, it's also the end of Luke as well, we know that. But go to Acts chapter 2 with me, please, Acts chapter 2. And let's look at a few verses which you may have read last week, but an overlap isn't a bad thing. Acts chapter 2, here's Peter's witness to the resurrection, verse 25 to 32. Acts 2, 25 to 32. Let's read these verses. This is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. David said concerning him, that's the Lord Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, of course, for a new body. Because you will not leave my soul in Hades. He's talking, the Lord Jesus, talking, he foresaw the Lord, that's the Father, capital letters in verse 25. You will not leave my soul, speaking to the Father, in Hades. No. You have made known to me the ways of life, resurrection. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. So this isn't about David we read in this quotation. And his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, Jesus, the son of David, he will raise up Christ to sit on throne. That's where he is now. Death couldn't hold him. Hades couldn't hold him. Certainly the devil couldn't. Go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10, just before Acts. John 10, and verses 17 and 18. John 10, 17 and 18. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus. John 10, 17 and 18. The Lord Jesus speaking, he is the true shepherd, and he knows his sheep. Verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. He knew exactly what he was doing. Go to chapter 11, turn over the page. Concerning the resurrection, and he raised Jesus from the death. Chapter 11, 25 and 26. 25 and 26, Jesus said to Martha, that is, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha said, yes. But did she understand how much? I don't know. We shall never die, that is, spiritually. The body may, but praise God, we get a new one anyway, whether we are resurrected or not. So Christ is the first one. Matthew 27 speaks about resurrection of this token resurrection of Old Testament saints, not everyone. Don't know why. It's the only place in Scripture this is even mentioned, not in the other Gospels. Then, of course, obviously, we looked last week at the resurrection of those who died in Christ, believers who died over 2,000 years. And we read 1 Thessalonians 4, you're familiar with that. And also 1 Corinthians 15, you're familiar with that, by the resurrection. But let's go on, just have a look again at 1 Corinthians, where we were before. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Just remind ourselves of verse 51 and 52. We stopped there, we read it last week. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. Do I hear a shout of hallelujah? Oh, yes. So that is the tremendous triumph that we shall experience, whether we're living or whether we go through death. So there's a resurrection, the number three, of those who've died in Christ. The fourth one is the resurrection of the two witnesses. Go to Revelation 11, then. Let's see about that, shall we? Revelation chapter 11. And let's start at verse 3. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. The resurrection of the two witnesses raised in mid-tribulation, 3.5 years on, at the end of the false peace, and when Antichrist gradually turns nasty. So it's after 42 months of the beginning of this seven-year period. Revelation 11 and verse 3, this is what the Lord says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. 42 months, 3.5 years. That's the first 3.5 years of false peace. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth. Those there, the present light in great darkness. And you can see in verse 5 what they're able to do. If anyone wants to harm them, the fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And who wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, like Elijah, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. 3.5 years, like Elijah. This is not Elijah, we don't know who they are. Their power over waters to turn them to blood. Moses could do that. Well, the Lord did it through him. And to strike the earth with all the plagues as often as they desire. And the plagues follow on, we know. And of course, they are in fact killed. Let's read on. Verse 7, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them. That's the rule of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And their dead bodies will be in the streets, lying there in the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. That's thinking low, isn't it? Where also our Lord was crucified, so we know it's Jerusalem. That those of the people whose tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days, not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. They've got their dead, you see. We're going to stop. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after, verse 11, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. Yeah. Maybe that could be worldwide. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake and so on. The only two people to be resurrected and raptured, they stood on their feet, resurrected, taken up to heaven. That's unique. That's number four, the two witnesses, resurrected, taken to heaven. Number five, at the end of the tribulation, there's a resurrection of the tribulation martyrs. Now, the spirits are with the Lord. You found that in an earlier chapter Revelation in chapter 7. So there's the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the second coming of the Lord. Also the tribulation martyrs will be resurrected. Now, let's just look at some scriptures which may not be quite so familiar. Let's go back to Daniel. Now, the Old Testament certainly gives record of the resurrection. But because the church is a mystery, it's therefore not in the Old Testament. We discussed this last week. So let's go back, please, if you can, to Daniel. And then we go back before that to Daniel 12. We go back to Isaiah. Here is the evidence of the resurrection, but it is of the Old Testament saints. Daniel was one of them. Daniel chapter 12, first two verses. Daniel 12, the first two verses. At that time, Michael shall stand up. That's when it gets very bad in the tribulation. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. He has a watch over Israel, protect. That's in Jude as well. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Great tribulation, day of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Hallelujah, it's always got a future. Everyone who is found written in the book, the Lord's book. Many of those who sleep, those who die in the dust of the earth, shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, verse 4, shut up the word, seal the book to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And right at the end of chapter 12, verse 13, last verse 13, but you, talking to Daniel, the Lord speaking to Daniel, go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days, which is the second coming of the Lord to Israel. This is not the rapture of the church. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. This is the resurrection of Old Testament saints, and that would include Daniel and all those who died in the Lord, who died believing what they understood by faith, limited though that was. They believed God like Abraham, and righteousness was given to them. So there is the Old Testament saints as far as Daniel is concerned. Go back to Isaiah 26, would you please? Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, the verses we want are 19 to 21. Isaiah 26, 19 to 21. The Lord speaking to Isaiah. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body, Isaiah. They shall arise, awake and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Resurrection. Come, my people, enter your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourself as it were for a little moment. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood, and will no more cover her slain. Resurrection. That's at the second coming of the Lord, at the end of the great tribulation, which he ends, Armageddon, he ends that too. Coming of the Lord, the indignation of the great tribulation is past, and the second coming of the Lord. Resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Isaiah knew all about that. Would you go back now before the Psalms to Job? Before the Psalms to Job 19. Job 19. You know these verses, I'm quite sure. 25 to 27. Here is the testimony in the faith of Job. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives. My, that's a step of faith, isn't it? He lived at the time of Abraham 4,000 years ago. And he shall stand at last on the earth, his second coming. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh, that's a new body, I shall see God. We wouldn't see God in this old body. Whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. What a statement of faith and hope that is, isn't it? From Job, with all the suffering that he went through, and the Lord honored him. So that's the Old Testament saints who are to be resurrected at the second coming of the Lord. The tribulation martyrs now go to the very end book of Revelation. We've turned in two places. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 of Revelation. I mentioned about the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs, how they asked the Lord to wreak vengeance on the ones who killed them. Revelation chapter And the verses we want are 13 and 14. One of the elders answered and said to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, serving day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." Verse 17, "The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Resurrection of the tribulation martyrs, asking the Lord to deal with their enemies. Now go to the chapter 20. Now this is very important. It's like a summary in a way. Chapter 20. And look at verse 4 to begin with. This is at the second coming of the Lord. At the beginning of chapter 20, Satan is in the pit for the 1,000 years, verse 2. Verse 4, "I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, who had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They come back here and reign with Christ in the millennium, in their glorified bodies, like we will. Blessed and holy," verse 6. Now, verse 5, "the rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years are finished." That's the unbelieving dead at the end of the millennium. The rest of the dead, the unsaved dead, not resurrected until after the millennium. Then they're resurrected to face the great white throne. Verse 5, "rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years are finished." This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection are for all believers of all ages. Going back to the Old Testament saints, the two witnesses, the tribulation martyrs, they take part in the millennial reign of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years, end of 6. Wonderful that, isn't it? You and I will be there as well. That completes the first resurrection. Christ first, the token few, Matthew 27, resurrection of dead believers in Christ, the two witnesses, the close of the tribulation, the Old Testament saints, tribulation martyrs, at all part of the first resurrection to life, not to death, not to the lake of fire. Now, would you go back with me, please? Well, while we're here, we look at verse 12 to 15, while we're in Revelation 20. This is the great white throne. We shall not see this. Verse 11 speaks about it. Verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is in the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, all unbelievers. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life, all unbelievers, resurrected to the great white throne, and that, if you like, is the seventh. First one, Christ. Second one, the token in Jerusalem. Third, resurrection of dead believers, Christ, in the church. Fourthly, the two witnesses. Fifthly, the Old Testament saints. Sixthly, tribulation martyrs. The seventh, the end of the millennium, the unbelieving dead. And it's a resurrection to life. Now, would you please go back to a very important scripture? It's in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, in chapter 5, John chapter 5, let's read from verse 24 for context. Now we go back before, I think, just to be helpful. You see, who's the judge at the great white throne? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because all judgment is given to him by the Father. Let's read this. Let's read from verse 21 of John 5, John 5, 21. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment," that is condemnation, "but has passed from death to life." Hallelujah. We have too. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." That's us. "The great shout of the Lord, the trumpet shall sound to be raised up." Verse 25, "The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Now, this verse 29 is very important. Let's look at it. And those in the graves will come forth. Those who have done good, that's those who have been declared righteous. This is not our self-righteousness. Those who are declared righteous by the Lord, justification by faith, salvation, till the resurrection of life. Of course, that must be believed. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. How many years between those two? The resurrection of life, resurrection to condemnation. There's 1,000 years between those two parts of that person. Linking scripture with scripture. I can myself do nothing as I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me, and this he will do. 1,000 years between the resurrection of life, all in one verse. 1,000 years separating the verse. So the first resurrection which we'll experience, and all believers, will be the resurrection of life, eternal life, inheritance. But those who are resurrected to death, for you and I, we go to the Father's house, don't we? In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back for you. I'll take you to be with me where I am, and there we shall be. Praise the Lord.